Well, I mentioned this morning I'm doing this a mini-series, three sermons, on the law, legalism, and the Sabbath. The first one this morning was about the law and what responsibilities we have as believers to be obedient to that law. We considered the three different types of Old Testament law, the ceremonial, the judicial, and the moral. And we saw that Jesus had fulfilled completely the ceremonial law, and resultantly we no longer continue with those ceremonies, those rituals, those sacrificial things that happened in the Old Testament, because Jesus has fulfilled that. He became that final, ultimate sacrifice and fulfilled all those requirements. In fact, it would be blasphemous to continue with those things, because it would suggest that Jesus' death upon the cross was not sufficient to meet the requirements of that law. We looked at the judicial law, the civil law. We noted, didn't we, that the judicial law is fluid because it's based on the culture and the needs of a particular society or a particular culture. But we should always be obedient to the judicial laws of our society, the law of the land, in effect, because that is what God expects of us, unless it directly contradicts what God has clearly said in his word. Then we looked at the moral law, summed up in the Ten Commandments, the law that was given for the benefit of all mankind for all time, and we are expected once again to be obedient to its requirements. And it ought to be a natural thing that those who love the Lord would desire to keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commands, Jesus said. Yet, in seeking to obey God's laws, there is always a danger that we can become legalistic, and that's our subject for this evening, to consider what it means to be legalistic. What is legalism? You know, Christians who hold to keeping Sunday special are often accused of legalism. Now, that might well be a valid criticism for some, but what does it mean to be legalistic, and how can we be sure that we aren't becoming legalistic ourselves? How can we avoid the trap of legalism? So what is legalism? Well, I'd say, first of all, legalism is an attitude, not a behaviour. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is two people can do exactly the same thing, but with a different attitude of heart. And one might be legalistic, the other might not. Because legalism is essentially diametrically opposed to grace. Someone who is legalistic in their attitude regards his obedience to the law as something which either brings about salvation or at least makes them worthy of it in some way. They might not say this explicitly, or perhaps even think it, but their heart betrays them, because it creates a doctrine of salvation by works rather than by grace. And even genuine believers can fall into this trap of legalism. We can easily think that someone who doesn't adhere to our particular view, and mine's always right, of course, is less of a Christian than I am. They're not worthy in the same way that I am, because I am keeping to these particular regulations, laws, ideas that I have that other people perhaps don't. It creates a judgmental attitude. If unchecked, can become a cancer within the local church, resulting in distrust of one another and disharmony. This was exactly the problem in the story that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector when they were at the temple, Luke 18, which you just read. They both came to pray. They both came to do the same thing. But the Pharisees were a legalistic attitude. He looked down on the man whom he didn't regard as righteous as he was. But the tax collector was humble and repentant. He knew his failings as he stood before a holy God, and he considered himself less worthy than others, even this Pharisee, no doubt. The Pharisee had the outward appearance of being righteous, but it was the tax collector who went away justified before God. You know, there's a real danger that as Christians, we can look down on those whom we regard in some way weaker in the faith, and we can become judgmental in our attitudes. In fact, we call that very attitude Pharisaical, don't we? Because of the Pharisees. So let's talk about judgment and the Pharisaical, the attitude. The Pharisees looked good on the outside, but Jesus looks at hearts and motives. He called them hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. You see, they wanted to be seen to be doing the right thing. They wanted people to look at them and immediately see how righteous they were. But they were self-righteous. They were self-centered. And it was for reasons of pride that they kept strictly to the law, not because they loved God and wanted to keep his commandments. You see, at the root of legalism is pride. That's at the root of legalism. When we do things because it makes us look good or feel better or feel superior in some way. The problem wasn't what they did, but the motive with which they did it. Jesus never suggested that keeping the law was a bad thing. In fact, quite the opposite. But he did speak out against impure motives. So legalism really is not about what we do, it's about why we do it. After all, as we saw this morning, the laws God gives us are for our benefit. So it's got to be possible to keep God's laws without being legalistic, hasn't it? Now, of course, we can all be guilty of being Pharisaical, looking down on other people when they haven't lived up to the standard that we expect. We can easily become wrongly critical. Now, there's a place for criticism, as long as it's constructive criticism. In fact, as believers, we're expected to challenge one another, but not to condemn one another. When we take delight in putting people down for their mistakes or their wrongdoing, it becomes judgmental, a legalistic attitude. When we start to think that in some way we're better Christians because of our behaviour, then we are beginning to be in trouble. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 23. This is where we hear what Jesus has to say about the attitude of the Pharisees. We're going to read a fair bit of it, so if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew 23, it will help. Just listen to what Jesus says. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats at the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have men call them rabbi." See the pride that's involved there? "But you're not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Now listen to this. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." See what he's saying there? You're not true believers. You look good on the outside, but you're not truly believers. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." Strong words, aren't they? They're building men in their own image, not God's image. "Woe to you blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if he swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is the greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and the one who sits on it." They were so wrapped up with material things, they'd forgotten what real worship was in bringing gifts to God. "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel." See what he's saying? They're doing some of the right things, but again, it's the wrong attitude. They were doing it with the wrong mindset, if you like. 25, verse 25. "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of sin of your forefathers." See what they're saying? We wouldn't have been as bad as those people. We wouldn't have done the things they did wrong. We're much better than they were. "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Strong words. I wonder if any of us have the attitude of the Pharisees, that we're so concerned with how we look on the outside that the inside has become dead. You know, there's always a danger, isn't there, for all of us, that we become self-righteous, that we end up self-indulgent, looking or behaving like the Pharisees that Jesus had to continually rebuke and correct. Or like the Judaizers of Paul's time, who condemned people for not following the Jewish regulations. We can all look at what other people do wrong, or what we perceive they're doing wrong, and we can stand over them with a self-righteous, condemning attitude, whilst failing to see the sin in our own hearts. God wants us to encourage one another, not condemn one another. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us good reason as to why we shouldn't judge others, because in the same way that we judge others, we will be judged ourselves. The same criteria we use to condemn other people, God will use to condemn us. If we need to challenge a brother or sister in Christ on their behaviour, it's got to be done in the right way, with the right attitude. As I was looking through this, I came across a very helpful checklist on gotquestions.org that maybe we should ask ourselves before we say anything to somebody else. I'm just going to run through them with you, because I think they're very good. Firstly, is my life free from similar sin? Am I making sure that when I correct somebody else, I'm not doing exactly the same? Do I have a relationship with this person that allows me to speak into their life? In other words, do I know this person in such a way that I'm able to talk to them about these things? Is my motive that of restoration rather than condemnation? Do I desire to see this person back on the right track rather than just lording it over them and condemning them for what they've done? Would I be willing to have someone rebuke me in the same way? Would I be happy if somebody spoke to me and corrected me in the way that I'm correcting others? Do I understand Scripture well enough to know how and why this person is violating it? In other words, am I sure that what I'm saying is scripturally correct? Am I prepared to go to my pastor or elders on this person's behalf if they refuse to listen to me? Am I willing to commit to praying for this person's healing and restoration before and after I confront them? Is this offence truly a sin, or simply an act of immaturity or preference? Again, we need to be careful, don't we? And finally, am I acting in love? Is love my motivation? Love for God and love for the person. I think we'd all do well to ask ourselves those things before we speak, wouldn't we? If we're able to answer these questions honestly and positively, then we can legitimately challenge a fellow believer. If not, we should keep quiet. A legalistic attitude can be a real problem. But the charge of legalism can also be levied at someone without justification. And it can even be used as an excuse for our own behaviour. And that is equally as dangerous as the legalistic attitude itself. What do I mean? We ought to never forget there is also a place for obedience and self-discipline in the life of every believer. So how does obedience and discipline square up with legalism? It's become, I think, quite popular in many churches today to suggest that obedience to God's law, because it's the law, is legalism. And that freedom in Christ means not having to obey these laws. We're no longer under law, we're under grace. This attitude fails to take into account the fact that as disciples of Christ, we are called to live lives of obedience, discipline and self-control. There are numerous references in Scripture to these attributes, and if you get your concordance, you can look a lot of them up. Jesus himself clearly expected obedience from his followers. In Luke 6:46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Self-control is a vital aspect in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." You see, as believers, we should be exhibiting these qualities in our lives on a daily basis. I talked about the 30 mile an hour zone in my message this morning. Let's go back there for a minute. When we're driving in that 30 mile an hour zone, we know the law's requirement is to be obedient to that speed limit. But we might be in a hurry. We might have legitimate reason to get somewhere quickly. Is it therefore okay to break the law for our personal benefit? Well, no, of course it's not. So it might take a bit of discipline. It might take some self-control to make sure that we stay within the law. Is that legalism? No, it's not. It's simple obedience. Now, it could become legalism if we intended to draw attention to how virtuous we were and use it as an excuse to put others down. Maybe if I had a sign on the back of my car that says, look what a great person I am, always sticking to the speed limits, whereas the rest of you are really awful sinners. That makes it legalism. That would mean me obeying the law was done for the wrong reason, to make myself look good and to put others down. But obedience and self-discipline are essential qualities for those who profess faith in the Lord. Right throughout Scripture, we see examples of obedience to what God wanted, even though it wasn't what the person themselves necessarily wanted to do. Abraham was told to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham didn't want to do that, but he was obedient to God and chose to do what God asked him to do. Moses went before Pharaoh, even though he didn't really want to. Gideon fought the Midianites, even though he was scared of the fact that God had asked him to do this. Esther risked her life, didn't she, by approaching the king when she wasn't summoned to do so, in order to do what God called her to do, to save her people. All of these people were obedient to what God required, even though it was difficult for them to do it, and even though they probably didn't want to. They were obedient in spite of how they felt. That's not legalism. That's obedience to God because you do what God wants you to do. And of course, the greatest example we have of this is the Lord Jesus himself. In his humanity, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he may have desired the easier option rather than going to the cross, but he took willingly the path of obedience. He prayed 3 times that the cup might be taken from him, but ultimately he submitted to the will of his Father. Perhaps in a lesser example, there may have been times when you didn't feel like reading your Bible or praying, yet you know it's beneficial for you to do it. So you take the disciplined approach and you do it anyway. And I'm quite sure you receive a blessing. See, that is the right thing to do, not the legalistic thing to do, as long as the attitude is correct. So you see, it's quite possible to do the right thing and be legalistic. But it's equally possible to do the right thing and not be legalistic. And we can also use the idea of legalism as an excuse not to be obedient, because it's an easy way out. You know, we need to be obedient, but with the right attitude in order to please God. God wants us to obey his laws. He wants us to follow his commands. But he wants us to do it because we love him, with the right attitude. Sometimes it's an easy thing to do. Sometimes we have to be disciplined in doing it. In the next part of this mini-series, we're going to look and consider how this whole thing might work out in practice when we talk about Sunday observance and what that means. And that's a thorny one in itself, isn't it? But we're going to look at that and see how obedience to the law and legalism play out in a practical way when we talk about Sunday worship and Sunday observance. But for now, look at your own life. Examine where you are before God. Do you do things with a legalistic attitude? Or do you do things because you love God and you want to be obedient to him, even during the times that's a difficult thing to do?